Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Thanks for spending the almost final day of the year here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. We've got, for this week and next week as well, a very special guest and a frequent visitor to The Advertising Show, and his name is Alex Ben Block. He's an entertainment industry journalist and author, and well, you know Alex. It'll be fun to see what happened in 07 and what he sees coming up in 08 as far as media and entertainment as well. Also have Jean Bliss with us here in just a little while. Customer accountability is what she's talking about. And Patrick Meyer in just a few moments, value versus price on The Advertising Show. So how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. And, you know, as we finish up the year here, Jean Bliss, as you mentioned, a great addition to the show just this past year. And had a lot of email and a lot of listener comments about her new addition to the show. And I just wanted to reach out and wish her a happy holiday and look forward to another year with Jean.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
Of course, Patrick, who's been around with us, Patrick Meyer, for a long time. And
we've been to a few Christmas parties with Patrick.
That's true.
A few years in the past.
But you know, we want to thank our guest from this past year that all take time out of their day, as Alex
is. All
says.
Of them? This is going to take
a while. Yeah, right. Alex has taken time out of his day out of Los Angeles. And over the past year, we had the gentleman, the author from Mark Tungay out of Paris, and people really take an effort to spend time with us, and that, I guess, is why we call them guests. But I just wanted to thank our contributors, Patrick and Gene, and just, you know, everyone else that's been a part of The Advertising Show.
Yeah,
this
it helps
year.
Put it all together. It's been a good year. It's been 07 has been a marvelous year for at least for our business, and I know yours as well. So we look back and we say thank you very much.
Right,
job well done.
And if you're a new listener, it's September 2001 since we launched this program, and I was looking at our statistics the other day, our web stats, and we have a significant number of people listening throughout Europe and Asia, so welcome to the show. You know, Ray, real quickly, excuse me, you know, we're currently in the busiest air travel season of the year, and with that, a company called InterAir Media of West Palm Beach launched a new program allowing advertisers to place their logo on the exterior of planes in the spirit of the season.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and the interesting angle to it is that a portion of the fees that an advertiser would pay goes to a charity. But here's how it works. Skybus Airlines aircraft are all on all of its flights for the duration of the campaign will allow advertisers to place their logo on the plane's exterior door when they board, so you can see all the borders will come.
Okay.
And then the sponsor also gets a mention, this is kind of interesting, during the flight takeoff.
That's great.
And arrival messages as well. And additionally, a logo and information about the brand are displayed on a card in the passenger seat back. So, you know, it's an interesting idea. They give, it's not just an ad on the outside of the plane. They integrate it throughout various aspects of the plane, and it has the charitable angle too. So I thought it was a decent idea. I've never heard of Skybus Airlines out of Fort Lauderdale.
I think that's a new startup.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I say out of Fort Lauderdale. The InterAir Media Company is out of Fort Lauderdale. I don't know where the airline's at.
Skybus. I've heard of them before.
Yeah.
Great idea. And a unique use of the thing, too.
Yeah, and real quickly, 2.2 million passengers, Ray, fly on Skybus annually, so just under 25,000 passengers per month per plane. So it's an interesting volume of exposures there.
Very smart.
Doesn't mention the cost, so call InterAir Media, I guess, if you're interested.
Well, you might remember we did back in Miami, Fort Lauderdale years ago with Eastern Airlines. And that goes back a long time. We did the radio station did a connection with them. Eastern Airlines was allowing us to put advertisers on the program.
How long ago?
In the 80s.
Yeah.
So this mid-80s, so it's
just
been a while.
Updated idea.
It's a great idea. Yeah. Patrick Meyer, value versus price is what's up next on The Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now It's The Marketing Insider, featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I want to talk to you about the concept of value versus price. When I used to work at the Gillette company, there was a test done on a new product called Silkians. When we took the price up, market share actually increased. And it taught me a lesson, which is price and value are quite different, and you need to set up the value expectation. So mixing product, marketing, and pricing together is really important. You need to gauge what the value proposition relative to price and what you deliver. Let's talk about the iPhone. When it came out in July, it was priced at $600. They go 3 months, they get to September, and they announce a price cut of $200 off the top item. So they're now making it affordable. Now, they probably skimmed off over $1 billion just on the first set of phones over the 3 month period at the higher price point. But they've now opened the door for the rest to come in over the holidays. Plus, they're coming with other models, just like they did with iPod. But the thing that really intrigues me is that they set a value relationship in the consumer's mind that the whiz-bang iPhone was worth $600. So now when you spend $200 less at $399, the world is going to feel like they're getting a value because they aspire to own this incredible phone. And now they're getting a deal relative to what the original price point was. So the strategy was a brilliant value and pricing move. So when you think about things going forward, how can you create that better value perception through pricing, through product, and how you communicate that to the consumer?
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
It's all about value versus price on The Advertising Show. Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, along with Patrick Meyer. Later this hour, Gene Bliss, the customer experience and customer accountability is what Gene is talking about on today's show. Alex Ben Block will be joining us shortly here out of Los Angeles. Alex actually has his own radio show on NPR, the KPCC-FM in Southern California. It's a weekly show, and he's been around the block.
Yeah.
Knows a lot of stuff, and is always a great interview as well.
Absolutely.
Here with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Nielsen Company says it has a new product that can help major media companies police the distribution of their video content on websites like YouTube and ultimately make money on the consumer-driven phenomenon. So they're starting to put a price tag on the YouTube exposure, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Media research firm, the parent company of MediaWeek, has partnered with a Beaverton, Oregon-based technology vendor, it's Digimark, to launch a new service, Nielsen Digital Media Manager, designed to aid the TV networks, independent content producers, and various online video distributors in tracking where users are posting and streaming copyrighted video content, rolling out in mid-08. This is where we'll see that as well.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you read about the Facebook lashback among their participants that got up in arms about the introduction of ads through the Facebook network. And so, you know, it'll be interesting in 2008 to see how all that plays out. And, of course, I think Facebook did a good PR move in admitting they were maybe a little over the top in how they were deciding to introduce ads to that particular platform. And they've retrenched and apologized for infringement on people's private private issues.
And hopefully the apology is well accepted and not too late, because once you do stuff like that, doesn't it kind of tarnish the whole thing?
They were pretty quick about it. I think it was a matter of just a few weeks that they were able to do that.
Okay. What do you got there?
Well, where do all the respected journalists go after they leave the mainstream media? Dan Rather, of course, has been in the news with wanting to sue Viacom.
Yeah.
And it's sad because he was such a great journalist, and I don't think his exit was the best in the way that he ended up doing that. He's over at HDTV, which is Mark Cuban's cable television network.
Right.
Ted Koppel, I think, has done a great job in staying involved in the media after leaving ABC. He contributes for NPR's All Things Considered. I don't know if you've heard that. But Retirement Living TV, the cable network dedicated to 55 and older, have lined up icon Walter Cronkite as a contributor. Cronkite's weekly editorials will air on Daily Cafe, so
that's the way it is.
In a way, he did a great job, and there
I'm
he is.
I'm surprised that he's back there. That's great.
Yeah.
And of course, Don Imus is on RFD TV.
You told me
that.
Yeah.
Go figure. Alex Ben Block is next on The Advertising Show.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
These are the three largest selling soft drinks. Now, let's have a look and see what makes them so popular. As you can see, this one is a cola.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth and our very special guest. Out of Los Angeles, it is Alex Benblock, entertainment industry journalist and author, and, of course, a favorite and frequent visitor to The Advertising Show. Alex, thanks for dropping by this weekend.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and Alex, before we talk about the film industry, let's talk a little bit about television. I think it's a big TV time right now. A lot of families are hovering around the television set, watching various sporting events and specials, holiday specials, or just finishing all of that. Was 2007, Alex, considered a great year for new TV shows for the broadcast networks and cable?
Well, I don't think you can call it a great year for new television. It's been a very challenging year on many levels. Audience levels continue to drop. The dilution of the audience, either moving to cable TV or satellite or video games or onto the internet, continues to make what we define as a hit TV show ever smaller in terms of audience as advertising rates continue to rise. But clearly there were some breakout shows. The ABC network in particular had a very good start to the fall season, the first half, and I think that as in any year, there are some shows that really have stood out. And overall, though, Fox and CBS continue to be strong, and ABC is surging, and NBC continues to struggle, and the CW network continues to hold down the lowest position.
And you say ABC is coming on. I know that they had a hot new show such as, Pushing Daisies was one last year.
Well, Pushing Daisies this fall is one of the shows that's been very talked about, gotten good ratings. The spinoff from Grey's Anatomy called Private Practice has come on very strong, and a bunch of the returning shows. I mean, if we take a look at the shows that have dominated overall the ratings for the entire fall season from September through the end of the year, the top show in America was Dancing with the Stars. Among other top shows have been CSI on CBS. ABC, Grey's Anatomy is the third most popular show, and of course Desperate Housewives in number five position. The Fox Network is a show called House, a medical show that is very popular. NCIS on CBS as well as CSI Miami are both doing very well. And NBC, although they're struggling overall, has really found very great success on Sunday nights with NBC Sunday Night Football. So that's at least a little sign of life. And among the other new shows that have come on ABC, Samantha Who is a top 20 hit. As I mentioned, Private Practice. Few other shows have really broken into the top 20, although they've done pretty well. But that's kind of where TV's at this fall.
And syndication, any breakout hits? I don't know if you'd even call them hits, I guess. How's syndication shaping up for 07?
Well, the surprise hit, or at least it's a surprise for me, is a show called TMZ, which is a half-hour daily syndicated show that goes for sort of the lowest common denominator celebrity stuff. This is a show that doesn't care about getting access to the Oscars or the Emmys. Instead, they send out young producers and writers with cameras to go stand at nightclubs and chase celebrities around, and then they put their own spin on it, making fun of them, adding sexy elements to it, packaging it. They started it out on the internet, and now it's become a hit on syndicated TV, getting 2 and 3 share ratings, which is right up there with the top shows in syndication, which, of course, continue to be led by Oprah and Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, but among the new shows, TMZ has the buzz.
Yeah, and if you live in a major market or even a medium-sized market, the Strip primetime access programs leading into primetime, you can't turn on your local affiliate without seeing Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition, all those celebrity-type programs. I think we're in I would have thought we're in an overkill position with that, but obviously with TMZ's success, I guess we haven't hit that yet, huh, Alex?
Well, but TMZ and Entertainment Tonight are the opposite ends of the spectrum. Entertainment Tonight fawns over celebrities is the official show, is the one that gets the access, is there at all the big events. They play the game with the public relations people. TMZ is the opposite. They're the maverick show. They don't play the game with the public relations people. They don't care. They're kind of a maverick outfit, and they do whatever they want to do. And for young people and people who've grown up on the Internet, which is kind of the Wild West of the media, this is a show in tune with their sensibilities.
So similar topic, just a different approach, I
different
suppose.
Different attitude, yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. And, you know, just before we leave TV, I want to make a comment about NBC's The Biggest Loser. We made fun of that show before it launched several years ago. We were wondering what really The Biggest Loser meant. It seemed to me at the time just the title and loss weight was trying to make fun of these people. But I got to tell you, in the genre of reality television and doing some kind of public service, I think this program does an outstanding job of educating the general public about accomplishments and eating right and exercise. And it's just, I think, a great tribute to NBC to have come up with that idea. What are your thoughts on that, Alex?
Well, I don't disagree with you, but when I look at it, I see a great tribute to NBC in a different way. Among the shows that have the most product placements,
yeah.
the most product integration,
yeah,
where advertisers
really.
Have paid money to be part of the show, not
right.
advertising, but actually within the confines of the show, The Biggest Loser is right up there as one of the most product integrated shows in the history of television.
You're right.
So it's a very lucrative show for NBC on multiple levels.
Right.
So
24-hour
it makes
fitness.
You eat better, that's great, but it's also making NBC more profitable.
Yeah, and until they retitle it 24 Hours The Biggest Loser, 24 Hours Fitness, I should say.
Yeah,
you're right, and that's a point well taken. And, you know, speaking of product placement, I was watching one of our favorites here on the advertising show, 30 Rock, the other day, and they had a product placement where Faye actually looks into the camera and says, "Would you please send us the check?" moments after they did the little plug on the product. And I thought that was a great way of taking the character
that's a wonderful show,
the
too.
Feel of that whole thing and playing off of that.
30 Rock, I love. You know, it won the Emmy, and it's a terrific series in many ways, but it is a product placement showcase. And sometimes it's been so blatant on that show, you wanted to scream back at the television screen. The Alec Baldwin character talking about GE products, air conditioners, whatever it is, has been almost like somebody was reading it out of a manual from the GE corporate speak. And so it is a funny show, but it is also a show that it also is loaded with product placements.
It's Alex Ben Block here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We're wrapping up the year this weekend, as we are here at December the 30th, and we'll have Alex back next week as well with a look ahead at 2008. I had a question, too. You know, I love golf on television. We don't have time to talk about this now, but I've noticed that the major networks, the NBCs and the ABCs and CBSs, have really gotten away from that. They're no longer carrying golf. And I saw an ad in Golf Magazine this past couple of weeks ago, and it touts the Golf Channel as being, you know, the major carrier for this stuff. So a major shift for me is like, well, wait a minute, I didn't get the package that has the doggone Golf Channel. I made a mistake. But I want to talk more about that and a whole bunch more as well here on the Advertising Show. Being powered by Shipple.com. It's Shipple. Ed Shipple and his gang do a great concept with a thing called Tendency. It's marketing software and a really, really killer website. So thanks to Ed as well as far as being a part of the Advertising Show. We've got more with Alex and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here in just a moment.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Stronger than dirt. Welcome back to the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and a very special guest and frequent guest here on the Ad Show, Alex Ben Block out of Los Angeles. And, you know, going back to the golf thing real quickly here, it just ticks me off that now I have to get the premium package in order to watch my little golf matches. And I was just really surprised when I saw them talking about these major matches being presented on no major networks, only the Golf Channel. It's a big adjustment for me, Alex. I don't know about that, but it seems kind of odd that, you know, I can't catch golf on Sundays or Saturdays now. It's programs about, let's see, juicing machines and vacuum cleaners. Kind of weird.
Infomercials.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad.
I don't know. Well, you know, this is a function of ratings. There is a certain audience for golf. You included, that is very loyal and watches a lot of stuff and sticks to it. But unfortunately, in network television, you can't have a narrow audience. You have to have a very broad audience.
Makes sense.
And with the exception of certain major tournaments, golf is not necessarily a sort of populist sport. And so, well, they get some ratings, and on the weekends in the past it's been okay. For most of the big, wide-ranging broadcast networks, it's not giving them the kind of numbers they want. Yeah. And it's not an inexpensive sport to get the rights to or to cover either. So you have to really make that decision. And while there are advertisers who really want that golf audience, which is upscale, more male than female, and a very good demographic for, you know, certain kinds of luxury merchandise, overall it's not the broad audience they're seeking. So the good news and the bad news is that there are things like the Golf Channel today and ESPN and others, sports channels, who, if you're willing to sign up for cable and maybe pay for an extra tier and pay a higher fee, you can get what you want. And there's also the Internet. More and more things are becoming available over the Internet if you want to hook it up that way. But can you sit back and get it for free on one of the major networks? Not the way you used to, that's for sure.
That was yesterday.
And, you know, after all, the people that play golf, they can afford that kind of thing. And if you're looking at what I hear you say, Alex, if you're looking for bobsledding this winter or curling or cross-country skiing, don't look for that on any of the major networks.
No, that would be in Detroit only, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's the exception to that. As NBC heads into the Olympics, they're going to carry a lot of the Olympic-type sports, like bobsledding, in order to whet the audience's appetite for the big Olympic broadcast coming up in the next year or two.
No.
And so for that reason, they'll do some of this stuff. But typically, outside of the actual Olympics themselves, these shows don't get significant ratings.
That's interesting. You know, well, as promised, let's visit the motion picture industry for a bit. We're right around the corner, going to be entering another of our annual awards seasons, as we did earlier this year and had Alex talking about the what he anticipated the winners to be, and as usual, was right on the money. And go back to early 07 when we were in the middle of the award season and bring us into where we are today as far as which actors and films had the greatest impact in 07. And also curious, Alex, do awards always translate to box office hits and revenue for movie studios?
Well, let's go to the last question first. They don't always translate. More often than not, they do. Part of it also is where they are in their cycle of distribution. If you have a movie that's just going wide in theaters as it gets an Oscar nomination, that is a home run, and then it always helps. But if the movie came out, say, in the summer, and now it's DVD, then it's going to be somewhat less important, and it also depends on the movie. You know, maybe we should take a look at some of the top box office hits of the year.
Yeah.
And, well, there are some Christmas movies that will go wider as the 2008 begins, and we'll see what happens with them. We have a pretty clear picture of which movies made the most money this year. And, of course, you have to look at the big trio of the summer, the trio of three-peat sequels. What I'm talking about is Spider-Man 3, Shrek the Third, and Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. All three are the third sequel in the series, and they are in all three in the among the top movies of the year. In fact, Spider-Man 3, with a total gross of about $336 million at this point, looks like it's going to be the number one movie of the year. Number two, Shrek the Third. Another big hit from the summer was Transformers, based, of course, on the toys and games and video games. There was another big Harry Potter movie, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Another big grosser for Warner Brothers this year. Universal's big movie was the Bourne Ultimatum. Again, I believe the third in the series, and a big hit with over $227 million in box office. The movie 300, which showcased some very unique special effects, a really kind of industry-changing level special effects, is also a top 10 movie. There was an animated picture that's kind of a surprise to me, but looks like you can almost put it on your dance card right now as one of the guaranteed pictures we'll be talking about in award season. It's called Ratatouille, about a rat who becomes a chef. The Simpsons movie was very successful for Fox this year. One of the surprises this year with John Travolta was Wild Hogs, about a bunch of middle-aged men riding their motorcycles.
As opposed to Hairspray.
Yeah,
so,
you know,
it was a mixed bag.
When you have the sequels and the threequels, as you were describing, is
you
that...
You normally have to take a break for a stop.
That's true.
Commercial,
let's
know?
Do that.
So can we do that first? And we'll fix your microphone, too.
Yeah.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth back in just a minute with more with Alex Ben Block.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
How appropriate. You will need that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not today. Mm-hmm. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Alex Ben Block wrapping up 2007 with us this week, and the forecast for what's to come in 2008. Always exciting and great to have Alex here on The Advertising Show. Welcome back, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and just real quickly, is this sequel business that's happening right now a lot, Alex, a reflection of just the drying up of creative juices in Hollywood? Is it conservatism on behalf of the motion picture industry wanting to step up to the plate with less risk of hitting a home run? Or what's going on there?
Well, there's no shortage of creativity in Hollywood. How it's channeled is the issue. And you touched on it at the end of your comment when you said, do they want a sure thing? Now, if you're in a studio and you're investing $100 million or maybe $200 million into a motion picture because of the cost of the talent and the technology and the special effects and so forth, what you're looking for is something that's pre-sold or easy to market. And so when you have sequels, you know there's a built-in audience. There's a certain level you're going to get. And so that's very helpful. And when you market those, you know that the audience already knows what they are and what they're about, and in a few words, you can let them know that the time has come to rush to the theater and see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, the quality of the movies doesn't go up. As they get more expensive, they tend to be more action and adventure and movies that will have a very broad audience, and they'll bring out that prime demographic, those wonderful young men between about 13 years of age and 34 years of age. And to get them out, you got to have something that they know and something that they think is pretty hot and interesting. There was a time when people went to the movies out of habit just to see what was there. That day is over.
Mm-hmm.
Today, people go to the movies to see what they want to see.
Right.
And so you have to know how to excite that crowd, and sequels are often a shortcut getting to them.
Well, and you bring up a good point. The marketing effort is not as significant because there's some familiarity out there. That's an interesting point I think a lot of people would have overlooked. You know, with regard to technology, it's really becoming a multi-platform wireless world that we're living in. As you look back on 07, Alex, any significant milestones or introductions in the technology area that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I think 07 was a very important year in terms of the way people think. Whereas in the past, people did TV shows and movies primarily for their first run. Today, when people look at this stuff, they're looking at how it's going to play on the Internet as well. I think what we've seen in television in particular is that there's a lot of streaming of TV shows almost immediately after they air for the first time on a broadcast network or even on a cable network. And the purpose of this, often accompanied by a commercial, is to get greater exposure for that show. You know, somebody said to me once, and it makes a lot of sense, they said if you go on the Internet and you illegally download a movie, you have stolen that movie and there's nothing they can do. It's gone forever.
Yeah.
But when you illegally download a TV show episode, basically it's a promotion for that series and maybe it'll whet your appetite to go watch that series on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so it depends on your point of view, but people today are thinking about how to use all these different platforms, the Internet, the cellular phone, and people haven't adapted. So far, the cellular phone has not proven to be a place that people want to watch a lot of entertainment, even though a lot of money has been put into it and whole networks have been created. But the Internet is a very powerful thing, and at this point, the big problem with the Internet is that it stops at the computer. But pretty soon, we're going to see it linked to the home TV, and you'll be able to watch all kinds of programs anywhere. You'll sit in your living room and watch the Internet and whatever is on that, as well as on broadcast networks. And this was a year where all of that technology began to come around and become very common, and I think we're going to see that continue to grow.
Well, and obviously the next question would be what's happened in the business of advertising support for old media versus, you know, we've all read and heard about the increase of advertising on the Internet. That's no news flash there, but I'm curious, that money, some have said, is new money being brought into the online world. Others have suggested that old media is suffering as a result of that. Give us a sense of what's going on there, Alex.
Well, if you follow the financial pages, you know that newspapers are facing tremendous problems as their revenue falls. TV stations, local stations, are having similar kinds of problems. And the reason is that a lot of the advertising that was on what we'll call old media or traditional media, such as TV and magazines and newspapers, is now shifting instead to the Internet. And what the Internet allows the advertiser to do is be much more targeted, because on the Internet you can literally send the message only to those people who you've identified as interested in your product or the right demographic for your product.
Right.
And so it's much more precise in the way that you're able to use it, and advertisers really like that. It's also easier for the consumer to click on that button and order something or send a message or let the advertiser know that they want more information. And so the very broad media that we've known in the past, network television, major national magazines, big city newspapers, well, they're all still good businesses. The days when they had 30 and 40 and 50% return on investment are over. Today they're looking at much lower return on investment and a much higher cost even to attract advertising as the model continues to change. And it also is about what people watch. You know, the core young audience, that 18 to 34 demographic, doesn't necessarily watch as much TV as people did before them. They prefer to be on the Internet or be playing video games or doing other things. And so it's, for advertisers, a much greater challenge to go and find where they are and put the advertising in places that they're going to bump into it. And that isn't necessarily network TV or a big national magazine or the New York Times anymore. And so we're seeing all of these models changing, and we're going to continue to see old media go out of business or learn to readjust and become multi-platform media. So that if you're a newspaper, you have to think about how you deliver over the Internet as much as you deliver in print. And maybe you have to figure out how to use a cell phone and other wireless media. And so this for people in advertising, this is probably as tough a time as there's been in the modern era.
On that note, we need to wrap up this segment. But, Alex, we want to thank you for always being there for us for in 2007 and for many years in the past, and always delivering a lot of great information regarding the entertainment industry as well. Alex is the entertainment industry journalist and author, and obviously we've got him back next week, and we're going to take a look at look ahead at 2008 and some of the things that that will come to pass. So, Alex, we'll check in with you next week, and thanks again for being a part of the Advertising Show.
Always a pleasure, guys, and have a very, very good, and Happy New Year.
We have one more segment to give you, and we will do that here in just a minute on The Advertising Show.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd. So I carry an American Express card.
Thanks again to our friend Alex Ben Block out of Los Angeles for his segment today. As we kind of wrap up 2007, I mean, we've only got one more day to go here as we get into 2008. Unbelievable. It's gone very quickly here. Next week, it's Alex Ben Block and a look ahead to 2008 and what's going on. And I got this thing out of Forbes, Brad. It basically says, Internet ads to surpass radio. Okay? Which is something interesting. Internet will overtake radio next year in its share of global advertising spending. A leading advertising forecaster predicted a couple of weeks ago. Zenith Optimedia, a major advertising company based in England, said that the Internet's share of advertising would rise to 9.4% in 08 from 8.1% this year, while radio share of the ad market would slip to 7.9% from 8.2%. Steve King, the CEO of Zenith, told a media investor conference in New York that the company didn't expect an ad recession next year, despite softening world economy. But how very interesting. Internet advertising forecast to surpass radio advertising in 2008.
Welcome to the customer experience. Making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
It's not enough to simply have customer metrics. It's what you do with them. To make them stick and use them to steer the actions, you need to take them out of the hordes of reports and paperwork and put them front and center as part of your personal mantra. I've found there is nothing like public accountability to drive customer accountability. To do this, consider establishing a customer room where a regularly scheduled spotlight is shown on these metrics and their improvement for your customers. Use the walls of the room to lay out what I call the gorilla metrics, which are the flow of your customers in and out of your business. Give your leaders a drop-dead date for when they need to have these compiled. And then within your first month, take a walkthrough on the walls of this room and find out what's going on with your customer experience. For each metric requiring accountability, ask, why is this happening? Who's going to fix it? And by what date? Repeat the walkthrough of your customer room on a quarterly and maybe monthly basis. People will step up when they see you're making this a priority of your business.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Can't say what a pleasure it is having Gene as part of The Advertising Show as we segue into 2008. Always some good stuff. And it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned first of the year, and here we are. And the Super Bowl, Fox broadcast of this year's Super Bowl, will involve Audi after a 20-year absence. The company will be touting its $100,000-plus R8 Roadster in a 60-second spot to air in the first quarter. And according to the CMO, they are keeping their cards close to the vest until Super Bowl Day actually arrives, because they're wanting to tease a bit on this product. It will be the Super Bowl. It'll be the spot's only broadcast TV airing during the Super Bowl. Although teasers will be available online prior to the Audi World, prior to the game at AudiWorld.com and other sites. But what's interesting, I guess $100,000 plus for an R8 Roadster.
Really?
Is that where the market is? As they say, the masses, if there ever were a group, but I don't know. So are they paying for reaching a lot of people that couldn't afford a $100,000 R8?
Yeah, maybe a wrong audience. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, be careful over the weekend, over this holiday weekend as you get into 2008, and watch out for the other guys who's not being very careful. So we want to see you back here next week for part two of the Alex Ben Block interview with a look ahead at 2008. It's been a blast. Thanks for being a fan of the show, and we hope we continue that addiction for you, a positive addiction, in 2008 as well. Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com, and we're always here, too, at theadvertisingshow.com. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.